Okay. We're going to go now to the first verse.
All right.
It's page 29. That's the first verse on line... Verse number one on page 29. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The source of all my good is my kind mama, my Lord. Bless me first to see that taking myself to Him in the proper way is the very root, the path. And grant me again to serve and follow Him with all my strength and nerves. Okay, and this is the very first Lam Rim and the most important one, okay? And that's what the Lam Rim is named from, source of all my good. And I see this Lama, by the way, him or her, right, on the far side of the water, gets into the, like Beatrice for Dante and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, or who's the other one for Dante? Virgil, yeah. So I see him, personally I see him like Virgil, you know, and quiet, strong, robe something, and gets in the front of the boat and stands there, and the boat just mysteriously crosses over the water, and they get into the steps, and they go up into the building, and into the first of the Lam Rims. So, you know, I see you meeting this being on the other side of the moat, on the other side of the river, and them helping you get into the boat, and helping you get across. And then I see them at your side through the whole trip through the building, okay? So this is the idea. They're helping you get through the building, and they're guiding you, and they're always next to you. And this is true of your Lama. They have been near to you. If the texts are right, they've been following your progress for thousands of years. They've been visible or invisible, known to you or unknown to you. They've been nudging you in different ways, getting you to move, appearing to you as different people throughout your life, and getting you to move at each stage along as far as you can. Okay, and you have to imagine that function of this holy being who took a personal interest in you and has been guiding you, maybe unbeknownst to you, for many, many years, your whole life at least, you know, and trying to get you to move in a certain way and to get you to enlightenment. So imagine a being like that. Picture them as holy as you can. If you have a root lama, they say don't picture all the warts and stuff, okay? Physical or spiritual, okay? I mean, think of them as perfect, whether you see them that way or not, whether they are that way or not. You know, think of them as absolutely perfect, physically absolutely beautiful, mentally absolutely pure, and imagine that this holy being is going to take you and guide you across the water and then be at your side through the whole trip through the building. If you don't have like a fixed root lama, or I would pick personally the one that I'm most attracted to, you know, and keep in mind that they're representing the other ones also. So I think it's inauspicious to think that they're all different. You see, I mean, at one level they're all the same. Your mother, your first grade teacher, and the last three lamas who came through Vermont are all the same being, actually, and think of them that way, and choose the physical form that's most attractive to you, you know, that looks most lamish to you, you know. I remember meeting Ken Rinpoche the first time, and first I met his attendant, who's this tall, handsome Kamba, looks like his Dalai Lama, you know, and then I met Ken Rinpoche, and he's sort of short, and he's got a big nose and big ears and little tummy, and I was like, I was that disappointed, you know, I'm like, you know, it's a very American reaction, you know, like to judge the Lama from the appearance of the Lama. So don't do that. You know what I mean? But I mean, do pick the vision of that you have that's most attractive. You know, I think His Holiness is pretty easy, and then perfect it. Don't think of them with any flaws at all. Okay, yeah.
Could you picture them in human form?
It doesn't have to be a human form. Could be a deity form. Okay, no problem. They have the ability to appear as anything they want. That's what they do. That's their job. That's their mission statement is, you know, appear to beings any way that helps them. They don't have a fixed form. I mean, they have a form in the Buddha realm, but they don't have a fixed... You can't say Tara has to have this kind of face or this kind of hair or, you know... When Tara comes to the United States to help Americans, she will look just like an American, you know. She'll look like whatever is most attractive to you because that's what she does. And it's, I think it's disrespecting Tara to think anything else, you know, to say that Tara can't look like Miss November or something, you know, is disrespecting Tara. I mean, Tara would definitely do that, or Baywatch or something, you know, just because her shtick is to be attractive to people and to lead them, you know, to trick them into going a certain way. And that's what they do. That's their job. So, you can visualize Jezzacopa looking like Virgil or something, and that's no problem. You know, that's not a problem at all. Imagine that. If Virgil probably was, so that you could visualize him that way. You see what I mean? Things are working on a very cosmic level, you know. People are setting things up 2,000 years ago so you'd visualize the right thing today. There's no big deal for them. They work in infinity, you know. For them, 1,000 years here and there is nothing. You know what I mean? It's not at all weird to think that everything in your life was pretty much set up before you were born. Like, what was that show? The Truman Show. Yeah. Okay. There's a very good show, okay? And so visualize them in whatever way is most holy to you, and don't feel weird about it. That's exactly what you're supposed to do, okay? Don't think it's somehow improper or inappropriate, or, you know, they don't have the right color hat on or something like that. It's what they do is to emanate the most attractive and intelligent and helpful form that they can for you, and they do. Okay? That's what they do. All right.